الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه and welcome back. So fitra has two meanings. The first, monotheism. This is mentioned in the Quran. And then there is the fitra that the Prophet mentioned to us in a number of hadith. Hadith of Abu Huraira is one of them, mentioning five. There is hadith of Aisha, mentioning 10, as in Sahih Imam Muslim. And in this hadith, the Prophet says that circumcision is part of the fitra. And why is circumcision mentioned in this chapter dealing with purity? Because for men, circumcision is part of perfecting your purity. It is the foreskin that the child is born with on the top of his private part. And the sunnah is on the seventh day is to remove it entirely or most of it. So that if it was not removed, once urinating, there will be still traces of urine because of that foreskin. And circumcision is mandatory for males in Islam. And this is the most authentic opinion. It is part of the nature of human beings. And that is why Ibrahim, peace be upon him, was instructed to circumcise when he was 80 years old. And he circumcised with an axe or with a hammer. Peace and blessing be upon him. And regarding female circumcision, it is an issue of dispute among scholars. The most authentic opinion after gathering all information, it is recommended. It is not mandatory. That is why a lot of the Muslims don't do it. Because to do it, you need a professional surgeon who has the ability and the knowledge, because it's a very delicate operation. Therefore, a lot of the Muslims don't do it, though it is recommended. But for males, it is mandatory and obligatory because it affects their purity and it affects their prayer. And the funny thing is, we are more Christian than the Christians, as some would like to say, because we love Jesus Christ, we believe in his miraculous birth, and we circumcise. And the majority of Christians nowadays who claim to love Jesus do not circumcise. So this shows you that our religion comes in line of all divine religions of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is not different than it. It follows the same methodology and the same law of Allah. So the first thing is circumcision. The second thing is removing or shaving the pubic hair. And this is for both males and females. This is part of the sunnah. Is it mandatory or not? This is an issue of dispute among scholars. The most authentic opinion is that it is mandatory, providing it does not exceed 40 days. So you can have the pubic hair, you can have the armpit, you can have the nails, you can have your mustache without cutting it short, providing it does not exceed 40 days. So if it exceeds 40 days, it becomes mandatory to remove these things. Some scholars, like Imam Nawawi, may Allah have mercy on his soul, said that even if it did not exceed 40 days, if a person leaves his fingernails or his pubic hair for a week or two, and then finds out that it had grown a lot and it is not healthy, it is not hygienic, it is not clean, then he must remove that, even if it's less than 40 days. And most Muslims nowadays do it every 7 days. They shave their pubic hair, as in the hadith. They cut their mustache. Some of them shave their mustache altogether. And it's a difference of opinion among scholars. The most authentic, you do not shave it. You simply trim it to the roots, very little. But you do not shave it. You have to leave traces of it. And clipping the nails. And we all know that these nails, if you keep them, if you grow them, they are a bad place for keeping dirt and for keeping unhealthy things. And plucking the armpit. Plucking the armpit for both men and women. And the problem is that nowadays, if you go to the gym or if you go to a swimming pool and the brothers are swimming and they take off their shirts, if they raise their hands, you will see the jungles of Africa. People have never cleaned themselves. What is this, brother? Why don't you remove this filth and hair as the sunnah is? He said, no, I don't want to look like women. Well, this is not women. This is the Prophet who used to do it. The most man of all men, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he instructed you to do it, so you have no excuse. And most of the Muslims do this before Jum'ah, maybe on Thursday, part of washing and cleaning and of their normal routine. There is no sunnah in doing it on Friday. There is no sunnah on removing this hair and clipping your nails on Friday. But if you do it because it is a week of weekend and a holiday and maybe you're preparing for Jum'ah, I hope inshallah that there's nothing wrong in that. And we move on to hadith number 30. Who will read hadith 30 for us?
Narrated Abu Huraira that he met the Prophet of Allah in some of the streets of Medina while he was junub. I slipped away, went and took a bath. When I came, he said to me, "O Abu Huraira, where have you been?" I told him I was in the state of Janaba. The Prophet said, "Subhanallah, a believer never becomes impure."
This hadith shows us that a Muslim is never actually impure. He is in the state of impurity. He might have some impurities or najasa on his body, but in essence, he is pure because he's a believer. And Abu Huraira in this hadith, he was in the state of janaba. So he did not want to meet the Prophet or greet the Prophet because he thought that being in the state of janaba, you should not meet people, especially dignitaries such as the Prophet ﷺ. But the Prophet corrected his opinion. And he told him, no, the mu'min is never impure. Even if you were on the state of janaba, you're still a mu'min, you're still a believer. I can give salam to you, I can talk to you, I can eat with you. There is nothing wrong in that. However, it shows us how the companions of the Prophet ﷺ used to deal with the Prophet in all honor, respect, and dignity. And we also learn from this hadith that when a person is in the case or in the state of sexual impurity, he does not have to hide from people. Some people think that if you're in the state of sexual impurity, you must not leave the house. You must not eat. You must not do this or do that. And this is all wrong. The companions used to leave while being in the state of sexual impurity, janaba. They used to go for jihad, to fight in the cause of Allah when they were in the state of sexual impurity, as in the case of Handala ibn Amir al-Ghasil, Ghasil al-Malaika, the one whom the angels washed him between the heavens and the earth when he was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. And when the Prophet saw that, he told him, why is Handala being washed by the angels? So they went to his house and checked, and they found that he was newlywed a day or two ago. And when he heard the call for jihad, he left his wife without having a total bath. So he was washed by the angels. If this riwayah, if this hadith was authentic, then it means that even the companions used to go out for jihad in the state of janaba. So when a person is in the state of janaba, he's requested and instructed to reduce it by what? Should I ask individuals or you promise to wake up? When a person is in the state of janaba, sexual impurity, he's requested to reduce that state of janaba with what? With wudu, by performing ablution. And we will come to a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ tells us that you can go to sleep while in the state of janaba if you perform wudu. And likewise, if you would like to go out, if you'd like to eat, just perform wudu so that you would reduce the state of janaba and be able to leave. So we come to the end of our session. So if you have any questions? Yes, brother.
Is it permissible to read Quran and other ibadah while in the state of junub?
This is a good question. Is it permissible to recite the Quran or other forms of dhikr while in the state of janabah, it's an issue of dispute among scholars. But the majority, the vast majority of scholars say that it is forbidden. The vast majority of scholars say that reciting the Quran while in the state of janabah, of sexual impurity, this is not permissible. Why? Because there is a weak hadith, not authentic, weak, that Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, said that nothing used to block or to stop the Prophet ﷺ from reciting the Quran except janabah. So the majority of scholars use this as the evidence for not allowing people to recite the Quran. Besides, they also refer to the ayah in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ, that it should not be touched except by those who were purified. And they use this ayah to refer to touching the Quran physically and to reciting it. But this ayah is not related to touching the Quran. This ayah is referring to the angels who have the preserved tablet. They are the ones who are purified as described in the Quran. The angels are the one. But for the Muslims, it's an issue of dispute among scholars. So, reciting the Quran? No. You don't recite the Quran because your period of being impure or in the state of janabah is very short. Prayer is soon coming. So, it is not necessarily for you to recite it now. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time. في أمان الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته